I'm checking my mic. Check yours.
Check horses. Horses.
All right, I'm getting you.
Why is that so funny to you?
I don't know. Horses. It's just a random thing I didn't expect you to say. Horses. All right, mic works. The mic works.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Seminary of Hard Knocks podcast. My name is Megan Ranson, and I am here with the lovely, wonderful Seth Muse.
Whoop.
What up? And today we are going to be talking about the most important skills a comms director should always be honing in on. And I want to know, Seth, before we dive into the depths of these, have you been honing your skills lately?
I have been improving my nunchuck skills.
Yes.
I have also been improving. I just did a certification course through HubSpot. And now I am HubSpot certified in social media. So pretty
cool. Oh, that cool. Sounds fancy.
Yeah. I'm working on the SEO stuff now, just trying to get as many of those as I can.
Are those free?
They're free. They are free.
That's fantastic.
You just go to academy.hubspot.com, I think is the URL, or just HubSpot and search it and you'll find them. But HubSpot is a marketing platform. You know, they actually have a CRM and stuff like it's kind of like a planning center type thing and all kinds of stuff, but they train marketing and sales people online. That's their big deal, is their business training for those people who are trying to do sales or marketing, now SEO and that sort of thing. So they're really great. Most of it's free.
It's a very robust platform.
Very robust. Let's bring that word back. Yes.
I love that word. We used that last week and
it's robust.
Can't stop it. I can't stop the robust
the robustness is...
I was going to say robustness, but...
I don't know if that's a
correct word. I don't think it is.
Word.
I don't know.
But yeah, I'm honing some skills. I try to stay in on... I try to keep up to date. I go to conferences and do online stuff sometimes, and I had a friend of mine that we both know that I won't say his name, but he asked me once, he goes, "Why are you doing that?" And I was like... Well, because I like to keep learning. And he was kind of like, "You don't need to do this. You need to be teaching this." And I was like, "Well, I'm flattered that you would think that. I really am." But I was like, man, if I ever stop learning and getting better at stuff, I feel like I'm going to get really, really bored. And I'm going to lose touch, ultimately, with, doing this job and handling it and doing it well. I mean, honestly, this stuff changes so fast.
Yes, especially in the marketing communications world, everything changes so quickly. Mm-hmm. That's important to like stay on top of things.
Yeah, absolutely. But
I'm a perpetual learner. I love learning. If I could be in school forever, I probably would, if it wasn't so dang expensive.
Yes. And I've always said leaders are learners. And if you're going to learn, if you're going to lead, you always need to be learning, because there's always something new. I mean, and I think about this with the church world too. I'm a soapbox here for a second. Churches that people that get really like mocking about going to seminary or doing extra education and stuff like that for pastors. I'm kind of like, hey man, you know, I get that, you know, it's hard and you don't want to do it or whatever, but like go into school for learning more about God. I mean, isn't that the life pursuit of the Christian? Would you want to know more? Wouldn't you want to improve?
It's don't like, you wish we could all do that? Like right. Everyone in the church, not just the pastor?
Right. I mean, I know that seminary has some downfalls and it can really produce some, you know, negativity in some pastors or whatnot or whatever. I've been there. I've experienced it. But I'm telling you, the things that I learned in seminary, I would never have learned in church. And it's valuable. And it makes me feel like I know God better. And if nothing else, I know myself better. And, you know, I know the Bible better, and I've probably forgotten a ton since I've been in there, but, you know, still the experience and going through it and like learning about things that we're passionate about and constantly learning. I don't think there's ever going to be a point where I go, you know what? I know enough about God. You know, I know enough about him. You know, where I go, I'm good. I don't need to know anymore. You know, and I right. feel like, and it just kind of burns me when I hear pastors talk about it that way or leaders talk about it that way, because like, this is kind of our life pursuit. But in the same sense, it's like if you're going to do social media, you know, SEO, you know, communications in general, it's always changing and there's always something to learn. Like as soon as you get a skill nailed down, there's a good chance that in a month it's going to change a little
bit. It's outdated.
Yeah. You're going to have to know something else. So,
well, thank you for that soapbox. I think that was something that's important. That's something that we all need to keep in mind, that educational pursuits are good, even in seminary, we should value that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So today we're talking about, two different types of skills. We're going to be talking about soft skills.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to be talking about, would you call them hard skills?
I guess. Yeah. Soft
and professional.
Yeah.
Soft and hard skills. So could you help define what the difference is between those two?
Yeah. For soft skills, I kind of look at those as more like relational skills, just kind of how you are skills, you know, just ways that you relate to people and relate to your environment. You know, things that can help you that are outside of like a skill set, right? Of like, how am I good at the job? It's can I do the job in the environment I'm in kind of skills. And the professional skills, the hard skills are more of like, can you actually perform at the job you've been asked to do? So it's kind of a division. It's really not an important division, to be honest. I mean, these are all just general skills that everyone needs to have, especially if you're in communication. But, you know, the skill sets that you come into, you're going to have strengths and weaknesses in all these. But again, we're going to keep working on not only how we do the job as a communication director, or if you're a pastor or a leader and you're also doing communications, we're going to always be honing those kind of professional skills, getting better at the stuff that we do. But there's also those relational skills that we sometimes forget, that the soft skills that we need to be working on. So I'm excited to talk about that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. So do you want to get us started?
Yeah. Let's talk about the relational skills first.
Okay.
I wrote a couple things down, and I know you had, there was an article from LinkedIn that was really good that we wanted to share some of those from as well. That are pretty much in this relational skills area. So, the first one I put down was patience. That is a soft skill. And we had this joke at my last church where we're like, don't ever pray for patience because God gives you practice. And and so we're like, every time somebody pray for patience, I'd sometimes do it. It's like, and dear Lord, I pray for my friend Craig. I pray for Craig to have patience. And he was like, dude, don't do that.
That's such an inside church joke.
And I mean, I throw it in there because I'm like, I really do want you to have patience. And he's a patient dude, but he's one of the most patient designers I've ever worked with. And he can crank stuff out so fast, man, it's crazy. But patience is one of those skills, man, that you're going to deal with a lot of high stress situations and things that just don't make sense. You know, people coming to you last minute, asking for big changes and that sort of thing. That's really going to throw a wrench in your system and your day. And they may or may not notice it or know how that affects you, but it's going to take miles and miles of patience to do the job. So you're just going to have to be ready for it.
I just listened to a TikTok video of Simon Sinek talking about, it was actually more about empathy, but the way that he was talking about being empathetic was by listening.
Mm-hmm.
And exhibiting patience through listening, like being the last person to speak and how hard that is.
Yeah.
And the value that comes once you've heard somebody's vantage point or, you know, all of the things that they have to say, sitting and waiting and not giving your own opinion, even if it's through a head nod yes or a head nod no.
Yeah.
Not being patient enough to wait to hear them out and then being able to speak. I just thought that was really good.
That was good. I actually saw that same video. I saved it. That's an awesome point he made. Simon Sinek is somebody to follow if you don't read his stuff. That guy is thought leader in the world of relational marketing, relational anything in business, just being a good human.
For sure.
Yeah.
So that LinkedIn article that you mentioned, it was really, really great. I don't even know when it was written. It was probably sometime earlier this year, because it was the skills companies need most in 2020.
Yeah.
And the top five skills that they listed, these are all soft skills, were the first was creativity,
mm-hmm.
then persuasion, collaboration, adaptability, and emotional intelligence.
Yes.
And when I read that list, I just thought every single one of those, if those are applicable in business, even those are even more applicable in the church. Like,
yes.
Like, especially when it comes to like the collaboration, adaptability, emotional intelligence piece,
mm-hmm.
like those things are, those will move mountains.
Right.
And a communications director role in a church.
Right. And I'll say that probably the one that I've seen communication people struggle with the most is the two ones, adaptability and emotional intelligence. I think we naturally struggle in that area as communication directors because we are so processed. We tend to be very detail oriented, and you know, adaptability is like, we want to get a system, we want to be strategic, we want to get it all. And then the pastor world is just sometimes not like that. You know, and so when we work with these other department heads and leaders, we struggle with adaptability because it changes so fast, just like I mentioned earlier. And that's something for us that we really struggle with, that area. And then the emotional intelligence is knowing how to handle when we're stressed about that kind of stuff. It's coming in and going, why did this change? What's going on in their life? Is there something I'm not seeing? You know, just because we get very focused on getting our stuff done and getting it out in time and being high quality and doing and serving in that way. And it comes from a good place, you know, that we want to serve and just, but then somebody throws a wrench in and like, what is their problem? And it's like, it's not always that, you know, it's that there's other factors sometimes that we struggle to see. And that's where emotional intelligence really comes in. It's the ability to really perceive, you know, things that are kind of going on in other people's and respond in a way that is, you know, kind and helpful and humble. And, yeah. You know, and it takes the other person into account, you know.
So. I think one thing that I really struggled with in the emotional intelligence that you hit the nail on the head, but in that department was I often, you know, I was the subject matter expert here. I was the one who was doing the continual learning, the training. I was the one connected to people who are doing marketing and, you know, like research for a living. I was the one who was bringing all of these solutions to the table. Like, I felt like I came equipped with knowledge and information.
Mm-hmm.
And, but yet I wasn't always the person able to drive the decisions, like with the authority to drive decisions.
Right.
And so I had to take a step back, even as the self-perceived, you know, SME here, take a step back, understand where the leadership is coming from, understand the direction that they're wanting to take, and learn how to use this, the emotional intelligence, to choose relationship over being right.
Yeah.
And also, how can I present this in a way that makes sense to them?
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense to me right now. How can I present this in a way that makes sense to them? So that's where the persuasion part comes in.
Yeah.
Is, and also knowing that like 9 times out of 10, if something is said or done that is, you know, distasteful or that I don't like, it doesn't have anything to do with me. Like,
right.
9 times out of 10, it's more about what that particular person is going through and walking through, and it has nothing to, it is not personal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, very rarely is it personal. And when we have high emotional intelligence, we can, you know, take a step back, breathe, and realize this probably isn't about me.
Yeah.
Like, ask good questions.
Yeah. And that earns trust. You know, when you do that, it really does allow others that you work with on your staff to start to trust you, that you're not out to get them, that you're trying to do your best job and you really want to see them win. And when you can communicate, you know, non-verbally and verbally with your peers that, hey, what's going on? What's up? You know, like, I'm not trying to be a jerk here and just throw a wrench in everything you're doing, but you know, I'm trying to get a job done too. And we're on the same page. So I think that really, those things really do help earn that trust that would bring you to the table eventually, you know, when, you know, normally you wouldn't be at the table. And, you know, 'cause you do have expertise and you do have things that others don't, that are needed. And so a lot of times I see this same issue is that there's a communicator who feels unseen and like there's like they're not considered when, you know, main staff make decisions that involve them, that didn't involve them, you know, and that sucks. But, you know, this is a way to kind of get in and hopefully earn that trust that they bring you in, because, and it may not, honestly, it just might be, there might be something else going on, you know, out of your control. But, if you're going to have that happen, that's, I think that the best way, and you mentioned persuasion. I think that's, the way I kind of phrased that one was the ability to translate market speak. When you go talk to a pastor or a leader or someone who's not in communications or real savvy in this world, and you start talking about, you know, ROI and clicks and click-through rates, and, you know, this, we had to get more follows and this had more engagement, and man, that doesn't mean anything to them, you know, so it may, but it really doesn't translate like you think it does. And so, being able to see your staff that you work with as an audience that you have to do, just like you would with a Facebook ad or a target social media post, or when you're trying to create messaging for your website, you're thinking about who's my target audience, what do they care about? You're going through all those steps, right? So when you're coming to your pastor to pitch a new idea on social media, why not treat him the same way and try to tailor your messaging of how you're pitching an idea or how you're trying to get something done to language that resonates? And
I have a couple good examples of this.
Okay, hit it.
So I had about 5 different bosses at one point.
Oh gosh.
And one of those bosses really valued data. Like, mm-hmm. if I brought him an Excel, that was like, yes, I'm in, go for it. So if I wanted to, you know, do, for example, if I wanted to do a specific social media campaign, mm-hmm. the way that I would win with him was if I said I used or somebody else used, it'll just be specific. When I posted this image with this copy and these hashtags, this person came to church and now they're on the worship team. And he would go look at that and he would say, okay, that's worth it. Go for it. Another one of my bosses, the thing that really mattered to him was what are the churches that are where we want to be doing. So if I could look at the things that they were doing and do a case study about their strategy and their tactic and say, I want to replicate these parts of it, he's all in for that, because he wants to walk in the footsteps of a church that is where we want to be. So that was what translated to him. It would be the same outcome 2 different ways. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And it may seem like, man, I'm doing work twice. Yeah, you are. But that's what we do when we have to do big things to get things done sometimes. You know, when you can't always pick your structure, and you can't pick who your bosses are, and you can't pick how they work, and you have to figure it out, you know. And that's part of the beauty of what we get to do, is that we have some freedom there to do that, like you're describing.
But what that did is, like you said, is that eventually earned trust.
Yes.
Eventually, mm-hmm. I didn't have to do all of that work anymore, because they knew I was doing my due diligence. They mm-hmm. knew that I was paying attention and that I was looking at the numbers and that I was looking at, I was benchmarking. Mm-hmm. Like, what mattered to them, I was doing what mattered to them. And so they trusted my opinion eventually. But I had to earn that.
Yeah. And we come in sometimes thinking that because I've had experience, because I've had success, or because I ran a successful Instagram account with my company and sold some t-shirts or sold some, you know, whatever, that, you know, they're just going to listen to me. And that doesn't earn that trust, you know, that you haven't done anything for them yet. It's the, what have you done for me lately? You know, you've got to earn that with everyone, and that's fair, you know? So, I think those are really great. I mean, those soft skills will really help you get things done, but, let's transition a little bit to getting things done. What kind of skills are we going to need in 2020 to be honing always as a communication director? Do you have some examples?
Amen. I think the number one thing that I think about is effective storytelling. Mm-hmm. And effective storytelling would be good creative writing, but also like editing and proofreading. Like the most important thing that we could do, I might have shared this on here before, but I had a professor tell me that if you are wanting to hire somebody in marketing, you're better off hiring a journalist major than you are a marketing major because they know how to write good content.
Yeah.
And good content is what matters. It doesn't, you could have an amazingly structured Facebook ad, but if the content is bad, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Like, you need to have good content that captures people and tells a story.
Right.
So
I heard Donald Miller say this, and I think he was quoting Ray Edwards, who's a great copywriter, kind of a legend in that world. But he said that words, pictures might inspire, but words sell things. And people don't make buying choices, that kind of thing, without the words, like without you telling them to do it and how to do it and explaining why it's important and doing that really well. And, you know, I think the words that we choose on our website or in the caption of our social media or even under the photos of our staff, those things matter so much that, you know, you have to understand how to properly edit and proofread. And, you know, that one of my favorite scenes from Friends is Y-O-U apostrophe R-E means you are. Y-O-U-R means you're. You have to understand the difference between those things. But at the end of the day, it's how you're writing to that audience that and being able to tell an effective story or narrative that involves them and brings them into it. In everything that you do is such a paramount skill today.
So. I love like the thing I keep going back to all the time. One of my favorite things about the art of storytelling is how good God is at this. Mm-hmm. And that when he created the earth, he could have done anything, right? Like he could have like a flick of the wrist and now there's water.
And it's
but
just there.
He, yeah, like whatever. But he chose to speak words. Like that's what he did, you know? And it's like, man, God thinks words are important.
Mm-hmm.
So should we. And it's very
so many connections to that as well. I mean, Colossians tells us that the world is actually held together by Jesus, and Jesus is called the Word of God in John 1. And it's like the spoken speaking nature of communication makes things come into existence in the Bible through God and when he speaks. Not necessarily when we speak, but when he speaks, you know. But when we speak, there's power in it. When we write, there's power in it. So great. Such a great analogy.
Yeah.
So if one of the things that frustrates, I'll just soapbox on this a little bit. It frustrates me a little bit now running an agency and doing some things is that I see there's a, when we offer copywriting and we offer help with messaging, how little so many people value that. And, you know, there is a, it's like we want to start a business or we want to launch a, you know, a new department in ministry or we want to have an event. And the first step is, okay, who's your audience, who you're writing to? And it's almost like, yeah, we know who it is. Let's just move on. Let's get the cool stuff down. Let's do the creative work. Let's get the graphic done. We got to have graphics. We got to have great design. And I'm like, yeah, but without messaging, it's just great design. It means nothing. You know, it's just not powerful. You have to start with that messaging. I always say that over and over. If you're not valuing copywriting and messaging, I challenge you to rethink your strategy because that will change the game immensely.
Nike had an amazing ad recently that, you know, it's international. Is it Women's Month? International Women's Month?
Mm-hmm.
International Women's Day was a few days ago. And they had this awesome ad about the first... and I didn't even watch the video. I was doing laundry and it was on a commercial on the TV and it moved me just listening to it. I didn't even have to see all of the work and effort that went into the video production of the commercial. Mm-hmm. Just the words were so inspiring. It was talking about the first sports bra that was ever created was in 1977. And it was like, just the way that they said it and the way that they told that story
mm-hmm.
was just really moving and motivating. And that just told me about how important the story was over the images. Cause yeah. I didn't even see the images. I didn't even need to, but yet I was still incredibly moved by the story that they told.
Yeah. And it's kind of that old adage that the words give images meaning and images give words power. And when you couple those together really well, it's a powerful combination. But, you know, the words without giving that image a meaning, it's just a powerful image. Like, you can take it however you want. So it gives you no context. And so when you hear those, that story of, here's how far women have come, here's what women have gone through, here's the narrative of women in America and what has, you know, transpired over the last several years. Like, here's the benchmarks along the way that you've seen advancement. It's like, that's the story. And, and just like it moved you, women everywhere were caught up in that because they felt it, you know. It's like, that's, and they didn't even have to, you didn't have to see it. And so,
by the way, the first, sports bra was sewn together by two women who sewed together two jock straps.
Oh my gosh.
That's what they told me.
Holy moly.
What?
Oh man, that's so crazy.
You're welcome for that little bit of information.
So now, guys, when you're at dinner and people are like, oh, so, you know, anything new? You can be like, I learned something interesting today. Did you know that the first sports bra was sewn together by two jock straps, 1977?
Listen, made it happen, man. They made it happen.
So weird, but amazing.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
So writing is important. That's the moral of the jockstrap story. So I never thought I'd say
retweet.
That.
Retweet.
Yeah. So another hard skill that you really need as a communicator in 2020, I would say, is all things Google. You've really got to just get a grip on Google. That is Google My Business, SEO, backlinks, AdWords, ranking on Google is so important. I think you've just got to understand that world. You need to be able to understand analytics. And there's certifications available. Most of them are free. You know, you can do there's a HubSpot course. I don't think it's a certification, but it's a course that's just changing my life right now. That's what I'm doing. But there's another, and Google offers some, and there's other companies that offer them. Gosh, if you're managing a website for a church and running ads, it's kind of irresponsible to spend money on ads if you're not understanding what you're doing with this. So I think that's a hard skill that you've just got to pick up and spend some time, take a day and dedicate it and say, hey, today. And this is really tough about learning, is that we get bogged down with, like, I can't take a day. I got too much to do. It'll be there when you get back. It'll be fine. You've got to invest in yourself because that is investing in the church. And that is doing your job. Making yourself better at your job is an investment to help your church. It is valuable. You've got to do it. And so I'd say just take a day and spend it learning Google, or at least trying to learn part of it, and do that once a week for a month, you know, and then you're good.
Even if you can't take a day, take an hour, like take your lunch break.
Yeah.
Like, instead of going out with people or, you know, whatever, take a lunch break. Instead of working through lunch to get something done on a project, work through lunch to practice some of these things, watch some training videos. And because the majority of your site traffic is going to come from search, not social.
Yes.
So it really matters.
It is. That's so true. I remember when we pulled up our data and I was looking at it with my boss, and he said something like, I would imagine most of our traffic for our website comes from social media. And I said, no, it doesn't at all. And let me show you. So I pulled it up on the TV and we looked at it, and it's like, oh my gosh, it's like 60% of our traffic came from Google. And I was really happy that it was that, because that's crazy good. And then, you know, 40% or like 20% or so came from social. And then we had referrals from our emails and other things. So understanding that is so important, because it tells you where to put your efforts and where to put your money and what kind of stuff works and what doesn't to get people to do things. And
understanding your Google Analytics, I think, is a really key part of that. Like, for you to pull up your analytics and to say, where is our site traffic coming from, is really important. And then you could see keywords that people are searching that allow them to see your church. Those are the ones you need to lean into. Make sure that they're showing up on your website more.
Absolutely. And I'll say the last hard skill that I had that I think you really need is, and there's tons that you really do need, but this is something you have to always be working on because it's always changing. Just like Google, just like written communication can always improve. You've got to learn some back-end website stuff. I'm not saying HTML. I'm not saying learn how to code, but I'm saying understand how to get a URL, point it to a website, do a fresh install of WordPress, how to, you know, set your DNS to operate correctly, get your email for your church running through your back end so that it's, you know, Seth at 8bitcommunications.com instead of, you know, Seminary of Hard, Seth at SethMuse.com, whatever, you know, you've got your URL set up to receive email through whatever client you're using, how to use G Suite with that or whatever client you're using. I've done a couple of websites here recently now that I've started an agency and done some things for some businesses. And when I get with the church world for like church comm team and stuff like that, I helped a friend of mine out with his website, and they had this all-in-one kind of old school, we're your hosting, we're your builder, we're your URL, all hosted together. And kind of like Squarespace works. But yeah. But it was like a chaotic back end. Nobody knew who had the URL. No one knew how to get email to transfer over to G Suite. And they wanted to update. They were just like, we just need better tools. We need this to function better. We need to be able to edit our website without having to call in a, you know, an army of web coders to do it. And, you know, getting your website up to date like that is such an important skill to know all that. And I'm learning all that right now and going, man, all the clients that are coming in for me on my business side and in the church side, they're like, I need help updating my website. Almost every one of them. It's that and it's yeah. Google. They want help yeah. with. It's crazy.
Well, one of the things that I was thinking of that I think is really important is the website for sure. That's huge. Google for sure. That's huge. And I would also say data analytics.
Yeah.
Is really important. Like part of persuasion is being able to report on results. And so we need to understand how to read data and utilize it to drive better results.
Yeah. And I'm not a detail oriented person, Megan. This all sounds terrible to me.
To be honest, oh, this is awful. I hate my own advice.
Yeah, I absolutely do. I'm like, God, I do not want to know any of that stuff on the website. I just said, I don't want to know Google Analytics. I don't want to know this stuff, but I have to know it. And so I would say if that's you, what I would do is I would say, get the 50,000 foot view of it. Like learn how it works, get a course, go through it, power through it. So you have an understanding of what it is you're talking about. And then I would find a volunteer, hire someone, whatever, who loves it to run it. And that way you can communicate with that person. And when they say stuff to you, you don't just nod along like, you know, and you really don't have a clue what they're talking about. And it helps you make better decisions, because then when you talk to this person who understands your analytics and you can ask them questions. I had this guy at my last church, his name was Jacob, loves information, loved it. And I'm like, I'm so thankful for you. I would go to him and go, hey, can you tell me how many people signed up for this thing through this part of our website? He's like, yeah. And he'd just go do it. And he'd tell me. And now I have information I need to make a decision, and I didn't have to go look for it and figure it all out. You know, so it was really nice to have that. If you've got someone that just loves data, you know, be their best friend. If this is you, because I don't want to pour through spreadsheets and stuff all day. That just sounds terrible to me. That's the advice same. I just gave you guys.
Same. That does sound terrible. And also it's not even just pouring through spreadsheets. It's also paying attention to like the people that are following us on social media, the people who are engaging, our Google Analytics, and understanding our communities. We have to learn how to break through the noise. Mm-hmm. And the best way to do that is to speak directly to people in a way that resonates with them.
Yes.
And if we don't understand their motivations, if we don't understand barrier church, we're never going to be able to do that. We're never going to be able to get past all of that chaos that is the digital world, you know?
Yes.
So being able to understand them and using data to drive our decisions, like we're going to have to be competent at that in yeah. order to reach people.
Absolutely. And hopefully you've listened to this list and go, okay, yeah, that's doable. Or maybe it's terrified you. I don't know. But, you know, this is a list of things that you're just always going to have to be learning. So don't feel like I have to go learn this and get it done and be a pro at it right now. Take a small chunk of it, pick one of those things, work on it, work on a relational skill this month, work on a professional skill this month, and just kind of take it off and, you know, take it in bite-sized chunks, because this is so much. And you're not expected to be a pro at all of this, right? You're going to have strengths and weaknesses, and you're going to have to play those. But take something and try to grasp one of these things. Work on your write. Take a start listening to a podcast on, you know, writing or copywriting. The Copy Bloggers podcast is really great. There are a couple of copywriting ones that are really awesome. Or go to an SEO podcast if that's your deal, or read a blog, or go to a conference. There's a bunch of them. But just figure out a way to take like a small slice of this, and let's just take a little bit each month. And I would schedule it. Like this month I'm working on this. This month I'm working on this. And have a plan somewhere you can see it so you don't forget. Because this is easy to just push to the side and say, I'll get to it when I have time. You're never going to have time. You have to make time. So I would encourage everybody to figure out what it is you need to work on most. It's most important to where you are now, and tackle that one first.
Amen.
Yeah. So
well said.
So anyway, I think that's a good place to stop. So thank you guys for listening to the Seminary of Hard Knocks podcast, and hope that you guys will join us for the Insta Summit coming up soon. It's going to be a great 3 days of talking about Instagram and how to do Instagram better. Go sign up for that. It'll be in the show notes, but it's theinstasummit.com. And of course our show notes will be today found at sethmuse.com/118. We're at 118 episodes, man. That's crazy.
That's freaking awesome.
Yeah. So thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you again next time. Later.